This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, this is Rhett Palmer, and today we're going to be talking with the author of Beyond the Hidden Veil of Shame. Her name is Kay Hall. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Good, good, good. Now, you've just gotten off the set. They just finished the motion picture on your book. And, of course, this is a very touchy subject today. One woman's post-abortion journey for a settled and peaceful heart. So, were you an author prior to this book, or is this your first venture into writing?
This is my very first venture into a book. I've written workshops and, you know, short little snippets, but this is the first of a book.
What made you decide to come, you know, to be so open about such a personal subject that, of course, has caused a lot of women a lot of shame later on in life?
So I was attending a workshop or a retreat, a woman's retreat, and that gave me this most beautiful vision of what my life looked like up to that point. And it was pretty bad. It was a playground, and the playground was, the toys were all broken down, the fencing was all broken down, the grass was all dirt and yucky, and there was no sunlight, no children playing, and I went, wow, that's pretty bad. That looks pretty bad, God. What do you want me to do? And at that point, I realized what he was referring to, and it was a life that I had been leading for quite some time without him. And so I just went to my knees and said, I need your forgiveness for messing up a beautiful life. And from that point on, I started getting into my Bible, and I started attending a church, and I started surrounding myself with people who were influential in my life. And then he showed me that playground again, and it was the toys were healing, and the, you know, as representation of my wounds, and the grass was growing, and the fence was back up again. And so I went, okay, I get it. You know, you ask for forgiveness, he gives you forgiveness, and this is what can be created. And he really pointed out that abortion is what I needed to focus on. I needed to move from that point. And so I just started working towards that. I realized the forgiveness I needed. He gave me the grace that I needed, and the redemption followed. It was an incredible story, and so I started to write it down, and it became a book, and I realized there was 900,000 women a year that needed this same message, and I said yes to his call, and all I want to do is get out there and let women know that you can be at the darkest point of your life, and God will restore you.
Well, you said 900,000 women a year?
Yep.
Was that literal?
I'm sorry, what?
Was that literal?
Yes. Yes, it is. That's the statistics for abortion.
There's 900,000 performed every year?
Yes.
In America or throughout the world?
In the world.
Wow. That's a lot of women.
Staggering. It is a lot of women, and that means there's a lot of women who need to hear this message.
Well, some people, of course, probably don't feel the guilt. I mean, if you haven't got the Spirit of God in you, I know as a boy in my teens back in the 60s, where there was promiscuity, and, you know, being of the Woodstock generation, I actually attended Woodstock, I would, if my girlfriend had said she was getting an abortion, I would have thought, well, that's your business, until at the age of 29, when the Spirit, the holiness of God entered my being, suddenly I realized that's murder. So not everybody comes to that revelation.
That's true. That's true. But there are still hundreds and thousands that have come to it, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't, and, you know, even if they haven't at this point, they're at some point, they do, and then what do they do with that? What do they do with that sense of that hole in their heart? And what do they do with the feeling of, you know, back, you talk about Woodstock, back in the day, going to a doctor, having an abortion, walking out of it, blah, you're done. And never thought about it until the movement came along, and then all of a sudden you have these signs in your face that are saying you're a murderer.
Now, at what age did you have your abortion?
I was in my early 20s.
In your early 20s. Did you suffer guilt immediately, or did it take, it wasn't until years later?
Oh, years later, and I just stuffed it away. You know, I'm a baby boomer. So I liken what I probably went through to several women, and I've talked to several women who have that happened in their you know 20s, and now they're at my age in the baby boomer age, and they're going, oh my gosh, that's why those things are triggering me, or that's why this is happening, or I'm tired of living behind this veil of shame that I've lived behind for all these years. How do I get past that?
Yeah, is it hard to believe you can really be forgiven for murdering a child, you know, essentially?
Yes, it is hard, but it is possible. I mean, forgiveness is just given. It's just given. If you ask for it, you truly desire it. God has already given it to you. It's just a matter of turning your face towards His and saying, I don't even know how to say I'm sorry, but I am, and please forgive me for this. And that's the only forgiveness that matters.
Were you reared as a Catholic or a Christian, or did you come to believe in Jesus later in life? What's your story?
So I was raised as a Catholic and went to Catholic school, went to Catholic Mass every day, and we listened to the Bible. We didn't read the Bible. My mom was a very devout Catholic, and yet she was also a very loving mom who stood behind me, with me through all of this. So here's another caveat in my story is when I was 16, I gave a child up for adoption.
When you were 16, a baby?
Pardon me?
You had a baby at 16, and that was before the abortion.
Yes. And so I gave her up for adoption, and then kind of drifted away from any kind of church or connection to God at all for probably 10 years. And then I started drifting back, and he, all along the way, was putting the sign out there, putting the carpet out there to say, come back, come back, come back, in so many ways. And I finally did.
You know, we're in such a fallen state that really, life as we know it, if we believe what the Bible says, is the skeletal remains of what once was paradise. And we think about all the sinful nature of man. I mean, whatever it may be, there's just, without forgiveness, what do we have? When you really define sin, we've all fallen into a state of sin, haven't we? Hello?
I'm sorry, did you ask? Yes, did you ask me a question? I'm sorry.
Are you distracted, or what are you doing there? Are you driving, or
what? No, I'm not driving at all. I was listening to you, and I didn't hear the question come out.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your reflection. You know, I'm just trying to think of a lot of things. You know, as a male, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know if I was in church or whatever, and I thought, wow, you know, I mean, it must be a marvel to carry a child in your own body. And you know, we're hearing a lot of background noise. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
I'm
perfectly still in my car.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's something else. Huh. But anyway, so how did you, who decided that this would be made into a major motion picture?
So I went to a retreat called The Well, and Jason Campbell from JC Films was there, and I talked to one of his associates, and I was kind of like, you know, that'd be kind of cool, but I wasn't thinking that my book would be a movie. I just thought, wow, that'd be interesting to see that. And Jason and I sat down during that time, during that retreat, and we talked about it. And I said to him, I said, my book is not meant to be a pro-life, pro-choice book. My book is clearly, and my message is clearly for women who have had abortions to understand that there is forgiveness, grace, and redemption.
Sure.
So that caught his attention because he has never done a movie on abortion and never wanted to do one. He wanted to hear more about my heart and how that's how I felt. And every time there's kind of a nudge to go one direction, God brings me back to that and said, Kay, I've given you a calling, and that calling is to deliver a message of forgiveness, grace, and redemption. I'm calling my people home for this. And so anyway, we had a long conversation. He said, let's go for it. Let's try it. Let's do this. And so it started on a roll from there. And I tell you what, Brett, after going through that experience of being on a set and watching that, wow, it was incredible, incredible. Well, healing and everything else.
Well, it's, I've always wondered about the industry as a whole. Where do you get funding for such a motion picture? How much funding went into this motion picture, and where did they get the funding to do this?
So that's interesting. From my perspective, I only can give you my perspective. I don't know what Jason has put into it or JC Films has put into it. My perspective was an investment of
$20,000.
Mm-hmm. And okay, I don't know.
Okay, so you put in $20,000 yourself, which is not a lot of money when it comes to making a film. Do you know what the total budget was?
No, I do not.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
We've gathered here in faith we believe. We lift our voices. His praises we sing. Whatever you need, my God will provide. The Father is